And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, what's up and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Friday, December 3rd, week 13 of the NFL season underway. We're going to take a look ahead to the remainder of the week 13 slate, making our five favorite picks from a gambling perspective for the week 13 games that are still left ahead of us. Michael Beller, Zach Jackson, and Vic Tafer here with you to talk through week 13 and everything that we've got coming our way over the weekend. Zach, let's start with you, man. How you doing so far this weekend?
Well, I'm good. I'm still battling this turkey and Sunday night football hangover. I don't bounce back like I used to. So please, proceed with caution on my picks this week. But yeah, we're moving right along, right? We're into December. We're into week 13. Still a long, long way to go. I just wanted to tell you guys, this is how hard this game is, in case our picks aren't any indication of that. I'm in this low stakes but big pot survivor pool, right? Uh-huh. And on November 1st, there were 11,000 people still in.
Wow.
It's right. So I go on today, and somehow I'm still in it, but there's 70 people. So,
oh, damn.
This is really hard. So proceed with caution, but thanks for listening, everybody.
Is it, with it being that big of a pool and us being this far along, do you have to make just still one pick a week?
Yeah, it's still one pick a week. Yeah, it's run by one of these online sites. And, I think they gave away entries or it was,
sure.
join this and we'll get in this. So I did. And, you just let it fly, right? And I said, at one point I looked and it was 11,000. Well, I don't know. Will I ever get to week 18? Probably not. And now I'm oh, here we go.
Well, this was a strange – so I'm alive in one, not nearly as many people, but we probably started with 500 people and we're down to 8, and I'm one of the 8 still remaining. And this was one of the strangest survivor years that I've ever done it, where it was – it was smooth sailing for 90% of pools across the board through 10 weeks. And then suddenly it's just been ridiculous over these last few weeks with the number of big upsets that we've had, taking out huge swaths of survivor pools. So good for us, Vic Tafer. You're here. Are you in any survivor pools? And just how's it going, man?
Doing good, man. I don't think so. I think I lost week one. So that's a lot of luck. No stress for me. I was good, nice, so I can relax, not worry about that kind of stuff. But that's good. The turkey's finally gone. I'm looking forward to the big Jack Del Rio, Derek Carr rematch or revenge game or whatever it is. But that's a big week.
Yeah, for sure. A big week and a fun week, hopefully, that we've got ahead of us. We were right down the middle last week, you guys. Vic went 3-2. Zach and I both went 2-3. So looking for some slightly better results here this week. Let's jump in with, our only head-to-head matchup of the week. You guys are taking opposite sides of the Vikings and Lions matchup this week. Vikings are 7-point favorites on BetMGM, this game being played in Detroit. Vic, you are on the road favorite Minnesota Vikings, so why don't you take this one first, and then Zach rebuttal with the Lions.
I think the Vikings are good. I think the Lions are very bad. So those are my two big reasons. I think the Vikings last week could have covered that spread. There were a couple of calls went against them, I thought. But I think they played fairly well. Kirk Cousins was kind of off target on a few passes. But I think they made good progress in the last month. I think the Lions, I know DeAndre Swift is a big loss for them. They don't have a lot anyway. So I think it's just a good place for the Vikings to kind of reestablish their hotness or whatever, their streak of playing better than last month.
So I've watched the last 8 quarters of Lions football, and it's not pretty,
ooh, right?
But I'm taking a touchdown here for a couple of reasons. One, it's Minnesota's second straight road game, right? And they needed to win last week, I think. They've been a roller coaster all along. They barely won the first one. And the Lions, with a little bit of extra rest here, get to look and say, hey, maybe we're running out of chances. So I certainly don't love it, right? And I'm not saying Lions outright, but I'm taking the full touchdown here. Because I just think, especially with Dalvin Cook out, I just don't know about the Vikings. And it really, this is more about the Vikings laying too many than it certainly is about the Lions, who are just awful.
Yeah, the first time these teams played this season was another one of the games that Dalvin Cook missed, and Alexander Mattison played well in his stead, but that was a walk-off field goal for the Vikings to win it. That's one of three walk-off field goal losses that the Lions have had this season, and so it's a pretty easy stay away for me. If I were forced to go one way or the other, I'd probably side with Vic and the Vikings, but it's not a game that I want to play. A game I do want to play, probably the marquee game of Week 13, Monday Night Football, Bills and Patriots getting together. Bills, 3-point favorites at home against the Patriots. It's totally a fair line. I could argue the other side of this. I'm going with the Bills. I could craft a Patriots argument if that was the way I wanted to go. But what I'm doing here is just siding with the team that I still think is the better team. And this line basically suggests that these are evenly matched teams on a neutral field. I think that's totally fair. The Patriots deserve all the credit that they've been getting for their 6-game win streak. I know it hasn't necessarily been a murderer's row of opponents, but look at those margins of victory. They are routinely going out and winning games by 3 scores, 4 scores. It's just been ridiculous what they've been doing to opponents. Last week against the Titans, 36-13, just adding on to that same sort of, yeah, it's not the best team, but they're still crushing these teams that they're going out and beating. It's a different flavor that they're going to get in the Bills. And the Bills did this in the first half of the season. When the Bills were surging to the top of the AFC East, they were the team that was beating up on a bunch of teams that they were clearly better than. The 35-0 win they had over the Dolphins, the 40-0 win that they had over the Texans. Like, they were the team that did it first. The Patriots did it second. And now these teams meet against one another in this huge game for control of the AFC East. And I still think that until we see the Bills knocked off by the Patriots, the Bills are the better team up between these two. So give me the Bills -3 at home against New England in this battle for the AFC East.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Now we move on to a game where we find some agreement between you two guys. Bears and Cardinals getting together in Chicago this week. Bears are 7.5-point underdogs at home against Arizona. You guys both like the home dog Bears. Zach, take this one first.
Yeah, simple as me wanting more than a touchdown here. You know, I know Arizona's off the bye. Kyler will probably be back. And they're certainly motivated. They're playing for the number one seed. But for as bad as the Bears have been in the win-loss column and everything that's gone on the outside, they've been competitive in games, right?
For the most part.
For the most part. And I just think this is too much. You know, I think it's 2 or 3 points too much. And I just circle more than a touchdown for the home team here and go with the Bears.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think it's a good spot. Chicago's a tough place to play this time of year. I think the Cardinals may be looking ahead a little bit. They got the Rams next week. So I think Murray and Hopkins are probably back, but who knows how sharp they are in the first game back. And, you know, when you're trying to dig out a big hole like I am, you got to get dirty. You got to pick some bad teams. You got to get in the mud with the Bears. So I'm taking the Bears and the points.
Another game that's an easy stay away for me. If I was forced to pick, I would probably go against you guys and go with the Cardinals. It's got a lot to do with the injuries that the Bears have on the defensive side of the ball, but certainly not a strong feeling toward the Cardinals. This was an easy one for me to move past. And actually, speaking of Survivor off the top, this is one of the three teams that I am considering for Survivor, the Cardinals in Chicago against the Bears. Wouldn't be my first pick if I had every team available, but those are the things you have to do in Survivor pools in Week 13. So not locking them in just yet, but definitely a team team that I am considering in survivor pools. Don't want really any piece of the 7.5 on either side of this one. How about Dolphins and Giants? Vic and I both on this game and both on the same side. We both like the Dolphins. I'll make the case first here. Dolphins look good, you guys, over these last couple of weeks here. Really feels like they've got some things figured out with the offense. A little bit more RPO with Tua over these last few weeks. And we've seen the results come through for them in that they're winning games. And they've put themselves back on the fringe of the AFC playoff race. The big thing for me, though, this was generally a stay away for me until the news came out earlier this week about Daniel Jones. Still not exactly sure as of this recording who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Giants, but we do know it's either going to be a banged up, not 100% Daniel Jones or Mike Glennon. Either way, I want a piece of Dolphins -4. So you combine what the Dolphins have done over the last month or so, the fact that that offense is starting to look a little bit like we thought it could be coming into the year, combine it with a Giants team that has just been bad and is going to be playing with a hampered or just bad backup quarterback, and I like the Dolphins laying the 4 at home.
Yeah, I also have the Dolphins. Like they're rolling. I think right now Tua is just kind of dropping back a couple steps and letting it rip. I don't see the Giants getting enough pressure to really alter that. I think Dolphins will have pressure. They'll blitz a lot, whether it's Jones or Mike Glennon. I'm not, to me, it's not a huge difference, but I'm a big Mike Glennon fan, obviously. But I think the Dolphins will roll and keep the streak going.
Yeah, this is another one of the teams that I am concerned. I know you guys love hearing all my Survivor updates, and this is another one of the teams that is
no,
on my
talk
radar.
Me through it. Yeah, talk me through it. I mean, it's tough because, like, do you want to me, it's like, do you want to just go Tampa, right? Or do you want to get cute and save Tampa?
I don't have Tampa available.
Okay.
Yeah. But it would, if I had the one team that I would just for sure be marking right through if I had them all available and I wouldn't worry about getting cute and saving them is the Rams against the Jaguars.
Yeah, I don't have them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Tampa's one that I would probably use. But I mean, I think Arizona, Minnesota, they're right there in terms of win percentage, win likelihood with Tampa. So I think there would be some argument if you had Tampa plus one of those two, I think there would be some argument for going with one of those two and saving Tampa. But again, this is also a time where survivor pools could be ending any week. And so maybe you just want to go with the team that can end it for you and you can get on Tampa, get that Detroit upset, get that Chicago upset and move on. But that's enough survivor. Let's get to our next game here. Zach, you and I both have a play on Ravens and Steelers. We are of the same mind as to how this game is going to go. We're both making a total play, just slightly different actual plays that we're putting in. So let's hear yours first.
Yeah, it's going to be a brawl, right? And we might have weather and wind and actual brawls. But, yeah. You know, in division games late in the year, I like first half unders. And I played one last week in the Steelers, who have a terrible offense. And the only reason I lost is because Ben threw it to the Bengals, and they ran a long way the other way. And even with that first quarter explosion, in which the Bengals took a big lead and looked like the best team ever created, it still came down to the last minute of the first half to get that first half over. I just think both teams, you know, want to play a little bit conservative. Maybe safe is a better word than conservative. Yeah. I think both teams, you know, want to keep their quarterbacks out of harm's way. I just think it's a physical throwback football game, and I just see it being 10-7 or even 6-3 at halftime pretty comfortably.
I'm right there with you. I love the first half under, and I love the game under of 43.5. Look at what these teams did last week. I mean, Zach, you were all over that Ravens-Browns under, and that was never even in question. You were spending that money by the end of the first quarter with the way that game went. And I mean, like, I just don't see anything that we've seen from either of these teams over recent weeks that would make you think this is going to be a 24-20 or a 27-17 sort of game. This is going to be Ravens 20-10. Something like that. Ravens 17-10. I don't see why we would think it would be anything different. This Pittsburgh passing game just can't do anything. We talked about that with Cleveland, and we're right about that when we talked about that with Cleveland, but Pittsburgh isn't getting enough attention in that way either, and I think it's maybe because the name brand of Ben Roethlisberger, plus still having guys like Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool who can go make big plays, but I mean, there's just nothing in this passing game, and Najee Harris seems to be maybe hitting a little bit of a rookie wall. Everything here just screams under 43.5 to me. I like the Ravens too, but yeah, on the road, laying 4.5, not really anything I want to mess with here. Two teams that know each other very well, very happy to mess with the total. Love your first half under, Zach. Love the game under of 43.5 as well.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's get on to Sunday Night Football. Next here, you guys, and Zach, you've got to play for us here. Chiefs 9.5-point favorites at home against the Broncos. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel more comfortable with 10, right? And I know the Chiefs are coming off a bye and things have broken. Not surprisingly, right? If Pat Mahomes is back in it, then they are the AFC favorite, right? But Denver has been a completely different team. You know, I saw them in mid-October on Thursday night in Cleveland, and they were awful. I think they've lost one game since. They're playing with confidence. Mm-hmm. They're a little healthier. These games, look at the Broncos-Chiefs games, even, you know, over the last few years as the Chiefs have ascended. They're one-score games. So this is simply, to me, a Sunday night game that means something to both teams, means something to really the entire AFC, anybody with a pulse anyway. Mm-hmm. And I'm just in my – just like my other thinking in the earlier games, I am taking more than a touchdown in this spot.
Yeah, I think that's totally a fair way to think about this game. And these AFC West games have been you know, there's a lot of contention in these games. And it's a division that's one on top of the other, similar to what we see in the AFC North. So a huge game for that AFC playoff race between the Broncos and Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Let's get to a game that doesn't necessarily have playoff implications on both sides. Vic, you've got to play for us in Falcons and Buccaneers. The Bucs, 10.5-point road favorites in this one. Which direction are you going in here, Vic?
Yeah, I'm going with the home dog. It's kind of similar to my my Big Bears pick. I'm getting dirty. I'm getting with the bad team. I think the Bucs may look ahead. They got the Bills next week. I think they're coming off a nice big win. I can't imagine they're too worried about the Falcons, who they blew out the first time. Devin White's out. I think that's a big deal for the defense. I think the Falcons will be able to score some points and stick around. So I'm taking the points and the home dog with the Falcons.
Can I ask you what makes you think the Falcons are going to score any points?
I just said Devin White's out. It's a big deal. No,
Cordell Patterson.
I've had the Falcons before, and I've been alarmed how bad they are offensively. But yeah, Cordell Patterson's having a big year.
Yeah. Oh, man. Great year.
I think this is one of those weeks where, like, you know, fantasy owners, they all bench Kyle Pitts. And now Kyle
finally
Pitts
does
is
going to
show up. Yeah, he's going to piss
God,
off all
I
the fantasy
right.
people around the league, around the country. But it's more of a just a situational play. I think the Buccaneers can't really be too worried about the Falcons. I think it's a lot of points. So it's not the best logic in the world, but it's what I got.
Let me tell you something, Vic. My 5-7 home league fantasy team is desperate, absolutely desperate for some Kyle Pitts production. So I absolutely hope you are right. You hear my baby in the background also. She wants that Kyle Pitts production. She's only 7 months, but she knows we need that Kyle Pitts production in the Beller house. I'm going to go to Rams and Jaguars. I'll keep this one short and sweet. Rams are desperate for this game. Rams need to bounce back. They need a good win. They need to feel good about themselves going into the stretch run in the NFC. Realistically, the division probably out of reach. Of course, they could come back. Mathematically, they're still in it. But a couple of games back, a home loss to the Cardinals already on the record. It's unrealistic that they're going to come back and win the NFC West. But they need some wins. Everyone wants to avoid that spot. And so they are really in a tough spot here. I think they need this game and they don't mess around. Minus 13 against the Jaguars. I think they win this game by 20 plus points. You hear it right there. 20 plus point victory for the Rams this week against the Jaguars. One more pick a piece, you guys, flying through this Week 13 episode. Zach, you and I are both on Eagles-Jets under 45.5, so I'm just going to let you speak for both of us. I really don't see how this game, similar to what we talked about earlier with Ravens and Steelers, like, paint me a picture where this game gets to 46 points. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you do have to worry about defensive scores, Michael, and you know, the ball going off the side of the punter's foot and things like that. Otherwise, you know, both offenses are really reeling. They're searching for answers. Obviously, the Eagles are still playing for something, I guess. Mm-hmm. The Jets really aren't. But the Eagles have struggled to maintain anything offensively. It looks like they get Miles Sanders going. He's back on the injury report. You know, Jalen Hurts has really been good for much of the year. He's banged up now. It hasn't been consistent. His receivers are letting him down. I just think this is an ugly late-season football game. We might have ugly weather conditions for it. And yeah, I mean, this is a 17-14 or 21-10 type of game. I just don't see it flirting in the 40s. So, you know, barring something crazy, and crazy things do happen in this league every week. But, you know, when I see a total like this and I see offenses sputtering the way these two offenses mostly have, you know, I circle it. I think, you know, a month ago, these totals at 45 or under were hitting 60%. You know, for the year. And it's usually because, you know, when quarterbacks are struggling to get it going, it's a struggle. I don't know a better way to say it.
Zach Wilson's just been terrible this season, been absolutely terrible this season, you guys. And that's the one thing I worry about too, Zach, is he throws three picks and, you know, one of them is returned for a pick six. One of them sets the Eagles up with a short field, but we can't really worry about that in such a way that overrules everything we've seen with our eyes, but the way these two offenses have played. And, you know, the Eagles are one of the run heaviest teams over these last 6 weeks or so here. So I think that's something that continues in such a way that keeps this game moving and keeps the scores down. Vic, why don't you take us home here? The one prop that we have on today's show, I am a sucker for Austin Eckler rushing plus receiving props, so I love to see this one in the show.
Yeah, I think it's a good number. It's 97.5 over yards rushing and receiving, minus 115. He's hit that number the last 2 weeks after not getting it the 2 weeks prior, but I think he's in a good shape right now. I think the Bengals have not really been too impressed with their linebacker play, so I think he'll get most of those, maybe even catching the ball. So I think it's a nice number. I like the Chargers also in this game. I figure this is probably the safer bet, as it being a tough game to call. So I like Eckler going over 97.5.
It's beautiful to get out of the show on a prop. It's something that we've fallen off on for obvious reasons. We are just getting into the show, but it's nice to have at least one prop thrown in. So thank you for doing that, Vic, and thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. For Zach and Vic, I am Michael Beller. Good luck this weekend. Get those winners, as always. Happy betting. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.